The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
This is Steph. Up next, Voices in the Valley here on Club 1220 AM. But first, joining us from the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota, it's Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Good morning, Rebecca. What's up?
Good morning, Stephanie. I have a nice little chore for the die-hard gardeners who always have to keep their hands dirty. You ready for this?
I am. I can't wait.
All right, so the season is winding down. A lot of our annuals are starting to peter out, and they have left us this gift of growth next year, the gift of flowers next year. As they die back, of course, they set seeds. And for annual flowers, those are the ones that come up every year that we have to buy every year, you can actually go out there, collect those seeds, and store them for next winter. Now, this doesn't work for the hybrids. It doesn't work for perennials. So this is just for the annuals. So here's what you need to do. So
okay.
Go out there, make sure it's dry, the weather's been dry, so that seed is dry, and simply either pick off the pods of the seeds, or in some cases like zinnias, the seeds are right in the cone of the flower. So you can literally pinch them out and put them in a Ziploc bag and mark it right away, because I so many times have come in and said, oh, I'll remember this, and then I'm off answering the phone or doing something and I forget what's in the bag. So with a little Sharpie, zinnias, mark the date, whatever, bring them indoors and then lay them out on a paper towel, on a cookie sheet, whatever, and let them pick out each seed, let them dry completely. And I let them sit out there for a week or so, and then I will put them back in the Ziploc bag. I also, to the bag, add either, you know, those little anti-moisture pads that come
in. Yes, with shoes and stuff, yeah.
If you save those, you can use that. Otherwise, just get some powdered milk and put in a little powdered milk. I usually put it in a little Kleenex and then just drop that into the bag. And what happens is the powdered milk will absorb any excess moisture that should happen to get into that bag. But make sure you squeeze out all the moisture, zip it up, and then store it in a cool location. Sometimes people put it in their refrigerator. I don't like to do that because of the fluctuating temperatures, but I just put it in the basement, and I keep them there in a cup until next year. I plant them up, and my garden is growing all over again.
I love it, and it's all from the beauty of the previous season. That is brilliant.
Yes, that's how the farmers used to do it for, you know, hundreds of years.
That is fantastic. It's so fun to hear all of these tips, and it's also fun to amble down to the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota, to connect with you and hear even more. Tell me your hours, Rebecca, at the farm store.
So we are open 9 to 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Saturday, I should say. And typically Friday, Saturday, if it's a busy day, we'll stay open longer if we have to. On Sundays, we are open 10 to 5.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rebecca, so much for sharing your tips each week here on Nature's Notebook. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley, following local student news.
This is Allison Wolf from St. Croix Prep reporting for the Shire. Exciting news for Stillwater residents. The final segment of the St. Croix River Bridge has been put into place. The bridge is scheduled to be completed in fall of 2017. Congratulations to 6 local Boy Scouts, Patrick Kelly, Aaron Holzland, Jack Mattson, Ryan Reisdorf, Jonathan Eisenbrandt, and Nathan Gregg. These Boy Scouts have earned the Triple Crown Award of High Adventure. They each completed a series of challenges at the Florida Sea Base, the Northern Tier High Adventure Base in the Boundary Waters, or the Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico in order to achieve the award, which is more rare than an Eagle Scout award. The date for Hockey Day Minnesota 2017 has been determined to take place on January 21st. On the day, Stillwater's Lowell Park will host high school hockey games on an outdoor rink. The Discover Stillwater Photo Contest has announced its 3 winners out of 290 entries this year. Jeanette Moss McCurdy has won first place with her photo of a paddle wheel boat, followed by Kelly Brenner and Michael Boge in second place and third place. The fall season has officially begun, which means it's the perfect time to visit an apple orchard. Emmett's Apple Orchard, located on Manning Avenue in Stillwater, hosts pick-your-own apple sessions 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day, along with other activities including a John Deere tractor park, wagon rides, the Honeycrisp Express, as well as a goat farm. Ina Poacher, a junior from Moundsview, has qualified for the U.S. national kayak team. She will compete in races in Hungary with the hopes of making the Olympic team for 2020 or 2024. Award-winning author Mary Casanova will be at Valley Bookseller today at noon weekend for a meet and greet, Miss Casanova has written over 30 books geared towards youth and will be highlighting her latest young adult novel, Ace Out. Valley Bookseller is located at 217 Main Street North in Stillwater. Reporting for The Shire, this is Allison Wolf.
Local Student News is sponsored by the Bayport Public Library and the Homework Rescue Program. All you need is a library card to take advantage of this free service, available online through any of the metropolitan libraries. Students in grades 3 through 12 can connect with live tutors to receive help for math, science, reading and writing, social studies, PSAT or SAT, ACT, AP, and state standardized tests. All this is available online between 1 p.m. and 11 p.m. each day. Find the Homework Rescue link in your local library's website or stop by the Bayport Library or visit bayportlibrary.org for more information. The Bayport Public Library welcomes everyone, enriches the community, and offers lifelong learning.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and I'm here with producer Jenna today. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
Usually we have my co-host and BFF, Dina, but Dina couldn't be here today, so instead we have another Dina. not that we wouldn't always want Dina the co-host here, but having another Dina here maybe is possibly going to make this a little bit cleaner
it's
and clearer.
Kind of wild. Two Dinas.
I know. I love it, and they're spelled the same way, D-I-N-A. Well, periodically, quarterly, Jenna, we are going to pause for a learning moment and dedicate the entire show to the how-to of a creative process. And this morning, we're going to focus on how to write a television script. And that is why I am so delighted to welcome Dina, and that is Dina Chapman, a screenwriter and producer from LA, to help us with this topic. Dina is phoning in from Nashville, where she is working on the second season of Still the King, CMT's half-hour comedy. I have the opportunity to interview her and ask her about her path to Hollywood screenwriter, and then student hosts Emma and Lee will ask Dina about writing an episodic TV show during the second half of our show. Welcome, Dina.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's fantastic to have you here, and we feel truly privileged to be able to learn from your vast experience here as a screenwriter and a producer. And part of our reason for this topic today on TV episodic writing is that The Shire, our creative writing center for teens here in the St. Croix Valley, has a group of students on its audio drama team that, get this, they write, perform, and produce a sci-fi radio and podcast series. Student writers, music composers, and Foley artists collaborate on putting together an episode a month for their series hashtag Hush Podcast. And just, you know, out there listening audience, and Dina too, if you get a chance, just sometime Google hashtag Hush Podcast and a bunch of really cool things will come up, including movies and videos and original music. It's pretty cool, along with the podcast itself. The storyline follows a teenage girl whose parents and then her grandmother mysteriously disappear. And to make that story arc happen and all kinds of other characters bringing them in as well, we're pulling tools from how to write a TV series to do all of this. So, Dina, we are really glad to have you on the show and can definitely use your advice. I know Emma and Lee are going to have some questions for you about that later. But for now, I want to just talk about you and your experience. Your bio is insane. I love it.
Thank you. I feel like I kind of, you know, everything sort of happened by accident, but I'm glad to be back in TV where I'm at now. I kind of, you know, went through indie film and features and TV writing and reality TV and, you know, kind of, it's all storytelling. So I love all of it, but I definitely think, you know, TV is my favorite, and half hour is a great way to start young. It's amazing to me what you're doing with the podcast. That's just great.
Well, thank you. We're having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, we just are grateful that we have someone like you to share with us. And I was going to try to condense your bio, Dina, but then there was no part I wanted to take out. So I'm going to run through it with you because I love reading it. It's awesome. So you started out at
okay.
the USC University of Southern California Film School, and they're writing for film and TV program, which I just want to point out to everybody out there that I know because I have a daughter interested in film school, that that is about the best school that you can go to. It's right there at the top. So well done. And from there, then you wrote, directed, and produced Rhino Skin, The Making of a Movie Star. And I love this. It's a critically acclaimed indie mockumentary that screened at 17 international film festivals, was selected by the New York Foundation for the Arts and Tribeca Film Center as one of the 8 films to best exemplify American independent filmmaking, and then enjoyed a 4-city theatrical release and television sales to over 20 countries, including Showtime Sundance Channel here in the U.S. I think that's amazing. And then during a staff meeting or staff writing stint on MTV's Undressed, your 5-episode arc was the favorite storyline as voted on the MTV website. Excellent. That is so cool. That's like the people's choice right there. Congratulations on that.
It was a really fun show. That was MTV's first foray into scripted programming. And so we were kind of their experiment in the beginning, and it was a really fun show and my first TV job. Yes.
I love it. And then I love this next bit, that you're big in Germany, but you don't speak German. So you've had a feature screenplay and rewrote, polished a romantic comedy later produced in Germany as the box office hit. Okay, this is an awesome name. Barfus. Did I actually say that right?
You did. Yes, it actually means barefoot in German. And that was I rewrote it when they were going to make it in the U.S. And the German actor, Till Schweiger, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He actually wound up taking the script back and instead producing it in Germany in German. And it was their number one box office hit at the time. It broke all these records. So when people were Googling me, basically it came up on German, all German sites.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you needed a translator to see what they were writing about you.
Right, exactly.
Well, and then it just goes on and on. You wrote a spec script in a heartbeat optioned by, is this the band R.E.M.? Michael Stipe of Single Cell Pictures?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Michael Stipe from R.E.M. actually founded an independent film company and did a lot of great films. He was involved in Being John Malkovich.
Wow.
Among other things. So yeah, it was a great little indie company. But that was part of what I was saying, is the feature film world is hard. You can make a really decent living and have a lot of stuff, a lot of work, get paid, but nothing gets made. And so it can be a frustrating process for sure.
Well, and then let's get to the TV world, because it's really wonderful now. You are on CMT's half-hour comedy, Still the King, and then you just sold an hour-long comedic pilot, His Wives and Daughters, to CMT. Can you tell us just a little bit about His Wives and Daughters?
His Wives and Daughters is the premise is it's a really famous country singer named Eddie Ray Banks. And when we start watching, he's gathered all his ex-wives and his daughters to his new Branson Theater, where it's going to be opening night of his self-named, self-proclaimed show. And I don't know if you're familiar with Branson, Missouri, but it's kind of, you know, a lot of older country stars wind up there. But opening night, he walks out, takes the stage, and drops dead. So that's kind of where we start, and it's the battle between his many wives and daughters who all hate each other and are aged. His most recent wife is 23, his eldest wife is 65, and everywhere in between. And they're battling over his house, and they have to run the theater together. They have to find an Eddie impersonator and run the theater together.
This sounds very interesting. I can't.
And there's a little bit of a Desperate Housewives. You realize that he was murdered, and it becomes kind of Desperate Housewives mystery.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. It sounds awesome. Tell me, how did this all happen? Bring me back to high school. You are in high school. You're thinking about what you want to do with your life. I know that you decided to go to film school, but what did you do in high school to prepare you, or actually, you know, that allowed you to get to accepted into such a fine school as USC?
I wish I had a better answer for this. I feel like I didn't start early enough, and I didn't take myself seriously enough. I should have done more theater and comedy and acting and writing. I wrote a lot of stories, and I wrote a lot of songs, actually, but I hadn't written a script until I decided I really wanted to set my sights on going to film school. And part of applying to USC was you had to have a certain number of writing samples. So I just wrote them for that application. I think it was, you know, three movie premises, a scene, like just, you know, kind of figuring it out as best I could and entering. So yeah, I didn't really. I feel like I had too much fun in high school and could have been doing.
Okay, students, don't listen to that last. Yeah, don't listen to that last bit. We're just going to move along after that. But I do think that what you're saying, there's a subtext there, which is it's all about the story, and the ability to write a good story carries you far. And clearly, you showed promise, and you showed the film schools that you had that ability, and certainly your career reflects that as well. Dina, I am really looking forward to the interview here with Lee and with Emma. And we are going to shift to a little sponsorship break. But next up on this special episode of Voices in the Valley, student hosts Lee and Emma explore the writing and producing of a television show with our guest, LA screenwriter and producer Dina Chapman. Stay tuned after our sponsorship break. Okay, Dina, we are here to a new segment of our show called our sponsorship bit. And our sponsor for this episode of Voices in the Valley is real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. It's because of Wendy we are able to do these interviews here today. So here's what I think, Dina. I think that when you're not in LA or you're not in Nashville, you should consider a home away from home in the St. Croix Valley. That's what I think. I think you need that second or third home to come back, to recharge. We have a vibrant arts community here, great restaurants, lots of outdoor activities. What do you think?
It sounds amazing, and I've heard it's beautiful, and it sounds like you have a great person who could help me find the perfect place. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very great suggestion.
I am sure our sponsor, real estate consultant Wendy Gimple, would be happy to find you a home away from home. And Wendy is the number one closing agent for Keller Williams here in the St. Croix Valley. She sold my house and helped me find my condo, and all worked out really well for me. So I'm grateful to Wendy for the condo that I now live in, and also for, of course, sponsoring this episode of Voices in the Valley with screenwriter Dina Chapman. And finally, a huge shout out to individuals and families who are supporting our interviews this episode with LA screenwriter Dina Chapman. Thanks to Jennifer Ann Have and the Sarir family for their support. Without the generosity of people like you, this show could not happen. So thank you. Every week here on Voices in the Valley, local area students join host Stefan D on the radio to celebrate the creative spirit, nurture the art of storytelling, and provide a forum for a diversity of voices to be heard. Our goal is to interconnect folks in the St. Croix River Valley to each other and to a national and international community in order to share the many narratives that can be discovered among our friends, neighbors, and merchants. During the show, guests, young and old, local and national, share tips, offer inspiration, and read selections from their work. Voices in the Valley airs every Saturday morning at 10 on KLB 1220 AM. To find out how you can support Voices in the Valley, contact me, Steph, at theshireonline.com. Well, we've been mentioning hashtag Hush Podcast quite a lot this morning, so it's worth taking a pause to consider our sci-fi radio play by secondary students here in the St. Croix River Valley. Hush follows a teenage girl named Andy whose parents and then grandmother mysteriously disappear. Andy and her friends set off to search for them on a quest that leads into multiple worlds filled with dangerous secrets and manipulative people, all kinds of fun characters, the voice of a strange being named Silence, a bumbling police officer who wants to train his pug to be a police dog, and well-intended but misguided adults aggravate the situation rather than making it better. It's a good storyline created by a group of teenage students on the Shire's audio drama team, and we encourage you to check us out online at hashtag Hush Podcast. And now, back to Dina. This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and if you're just tuning in, you are joining us for the last half of our show where student hosts interview our guests. Emma and Lee, juniors from Stillwater Area High School, are here with us today to join the conversation with Hollywood screenwriter Dina Chapman. Welcome, Emma. Welcome, Lee.
Hello.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you here, Dina.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you guys. It sounds like you're doing really interesting things with your podcast and writing episodic serialized shows already, which is really great.
Thank you. We're really excited.
Well, I'm going to turn the interview over to you guys. Go for it.
This is Lee. How do you outline your TV shows before you begin writing the episodes?
Well, you know, right now I'm on a show called Still the King, and we're writing in Nashville. We have 10 writers on this show, and I was also on season one. Season one is always unique because you've only ever had the pilot written. So you've set up your characters, and you kind of have an idea of the world you're writing in, but you don't have your plots all figured out for the entire season. So what we do really in the beginning of each season is we sit in the room and we talk about each character and kind of where we see them going, what relationships we want to give time to that season, and really want to know where we want to get to by the end of the season. And then we kind of backtrack from there and make sure that we're giving each of our characters something interesting, an arc, and something to play. And, you know, there are shows that are definitely more episodic and they don't try to carry a storyline all the way through the season, but the one we're on kind of, you know, it's going to progress the story from the beginning to the end. So as an entire room, we basically talk season arcs first before we're talking about individual episodes. And once we do that, we spend another week maybe pitching just fun ideas, like different how, you know, we know that this character needs to get to this place. What's a funny thing that can happen in one episode? Once we have all the ideas out there and the season arcs out there, then we get into talking about actual episodes, and we come up with A storylines, B storylines, and C storylines, figure out which ones go where, and then we do a thing that's called the weave all together as a room, where we figure out what scenes we want to intercut, what our act outs are, where the act breaks will be. Really, we get it all laid out in the room together, and then whichever writer is taking that particular episode will go off and write the outline.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Yeah. We, as writing Hush, it's good to hear other people and their processes so that we can get help with ours. Do you find it difficult to keep people on the same page on the writing team?
In the room, there's a lot of disagreements, of course, because everyone has ideas. There's definitely, when push comes to shove, there's a hierarchy. So there's the creators and executive producers of the show are in the room as two of our writers, and then we have a head writing team. So really, if there was a huge split between the room, those guys are going to have the ultimate say. But I feel like more or less we find if half the room isn't liking something, really, there's a different answer. It doesn't have to go with the thing other people don't like. So usually we'll try and keep talking it out and working on it until we get to a whole different idea maybe that everybody likes. And I think, you know, in this case, the group consensus matters. If you're realizing that you're losing half the people that just don't find it funny, you can argue, and trust me, we do. Keep saying, no, it's funny because... And the truth is, if you have to explain why it's funny, you won't be able to do that when people are watching at home, so it's probably not going to work. And yeah, it's hard to let go of your babies sometimes when it's your idea or your pitch, but really, everybody has ideas shot down, everybody wins some, and you just it's really collaborative.
That's amazing and incredible. I think I've already said that, but... When you're...
It's kind of an awesome job, I admit. It's really fun. We have a great time, and we're in a room full of comedy writers every day, all trying to make each other laugh. So it is definitely a lot of fun, and even in more serious rooms, when you're talking character, it's kind of, you know, playing make-believe for a living, which is great.
So as you go along writing and outlining these episodes, how do you keep track of all the information? Do you keep a story Bible?
We have cards. We have a whole bunch of boards and index cards that go episode by episode what the A, B, C storyline is, and then breaking it down further to what the... Usually our A storylines have probably 8 beats to them or scenes, and our Bs have 5 scenes, and the C story or runner is usually just a quick 3 hits throughout the episode. And sometimes that's not a fully different storyline so much as it's like a side beat happening between two of the characters. So once we've got those, you know, 8, 5, 3 beats, we figure out how they all go together. And we do have it on index cards, we do it on a whiteboard, and then we have a writer's assistant who is keeping track every day. Like, we not believe how fast he's typing, but every joke that gets pitched, every idea is written down. So when you go to write, the writer's assistant will go back through the season so far, like from when we first started talking about premises and story arcs and season arcs, and he'll give you a packet, a writing packet,
for that episode, everything that's been said by anyone about your episode. And then you have to just go through and you, you know, cherry pick the best of it and you put together your outline that way. We kind of have to do, like, it's not really a story Bible so much as it is at the beginning of the season, you have to give the network the season story arcs and character arcs, and, you know, they approve the premises. So we do that kind of piecemeal instead of having one big document.
Right. So with all of your index cards and whiteboards and note-taking, it's all up to the assistant writer to be taking these notes and then giving it to the rest of the writing team to truly know where you're headed.
That is true, but it also some rooms do it, and this is another option too, especially in what in terms of what you guys are doing, is that the writer who's going to be writing that episode can also take their own notes and keep track of that. And we also share everything on Google Docs, where you have all the outlines, all the premises, the episodes from last season. So if there's anything you need to, you know, check, like, sometimes we'll have just silly things like, wait, we have a character. Did anyone ever give this character a last name? You know, and somebody will know. But we definitely have a lot of that information all on one big database. What are the challenges you guys are finding as you're writing together?
Well, we have trouble keeping all of the facts and information of this fictitious world and understanding, oh, we made this decision last week. So remember when we voted on that and decided this is what we wanted to do? And sometimes we don't.
Yeah,
so you're just like, it's nice to have the record of when you decided that. That's
right.
True. That those arguments do still come up, yeah. I didn't think that's what we landed on. And everyone's like, yeah, it is. It is.
And you're like, no, it wasn't. No, you agreed last week.
Yeah. No, I think that's always going to be part of it, and that does happen a lot. People just like not quite remembering exactly what we had landed on in the room, or wanting to try something a little different, and other people want it a different way. But I think that's just part of the process. And usually, you go through rewrites with the room. Once you've written an outline, it gets approved by the network, but then you go through it as a room and talk about the scene and the jokes and the any changes the network had, and then they write a draft and bring it into the room, and you do the same thing. You go through as a room and you punch up jokes or say, I don't think that line is working. So you have a lot of input on everyone else's scripts as well.
Thank you.
It's Lee again. So do you have any advice for a blossoming screenwriter?
I do. You know, I wish I kind of, when I was in high school, I knew I wanted to write, but I hadn't even really realized you could write TV and movies initially. You know, I was thinking more of writing novels. And when I realized film school was a thing, I knew I wanted to do it. But what I didn't do, and I wish I had done more of, and it sounds like you guys already are ahead of it on that, is you're already writing. You're already in plays. One other thing, and I think it's great to be in plays, because that would be my other piece of advice, is to take acting classes, do acting, do improv classes especially, because in a writer's room, like, all the rules of improv kind of apply, the yes and, so, like, you don't shoot down an idea, you have to consider it, and you add to it, and you kind of build on it. So a lot of the rules of improv comedy are really helpful to writers. So any of that helps. It totally helps with writing dialogue. If you've taken acting or comedy classes, you just are, I think, so that would be my advice, is, you know, explore the other areas, directing, acting, as well as just writing, and mostly write a lot, because it's all really rewriting. You know, I think a lot of times in the beginning, you feel like you wrote something once and it's done, and you later realize, like, you can rewrite things 20 times, you know, and it's all about taking notes and restructuring and rewriting, and it just keeps getting better. So I think my biggest advice would be that, to just write a lot.
That's really helpful advice that you've given us, Dina. I thank you so much for sharing that with Lee and with Emma and with the rest of the Hush audio drama team and our listeners here in the St. Croix Valley. Well done, ladies. Thank you so much for hosting today, and we'll see you next time. You've been listening to Voices in the Valley here on the Club 1220 and an interview with Hollywood screenwriter Dina Chapman. Dina just sold an hour-long comedic pilot called His Wives and Daughters to CMT, and also is a staff writer for CMT's half-hour comedy Still the King. You can watch new episodes of Still the King every Saturday at 8 p.m. Central Time, or catch up on the season through the CMT app, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft, Xbox, Vudu, Sony, PlayStation, television or video on demand. Follow Still the King on Facebook and check them out on Twitter using hashtag Still the King. Next week on Voices in the Valley, we have two special stories. Shauna Briel tells her narrative about leaving a traumatic relationship, and Dr. Kelly Seth explains how she survived and recovered from a head-on collision while traveling in India. Special thanks to Wendy Gimple, the Bayport Public Library, Huntington Learning Center, Jennifer Ann Have, and the Serrer family for their support of Voices in the Valley. To find out how you can become involved with the show, email steph@theshireonline.com. Join us again next Saturday at 10 in the morning here on the Club 1220 KLBB. Now go and write.